Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So it looks like, and about time, you know, I called for this almost immediately, but it looks like Troy Price, the chairman of the Iowa Democratic Party, has submitted his resignation over the debacle known as the Iowa caucus. And still, we don't know who won. And at this point, as I said right after that all happened, I don't really even care. I don't think it even really matters, because once you get to South Carolina and Super Tuesday, I think that's when the meat of it happens. But as bad as the messaging out of this, good, he's gone. I think Tom Perez should go as well, although he has said not going to do it. Under any circumstances, he is not resigning. So there is that. Anyway, I've asked my next guest to come talk with us. Greg Palast is an incredible investigative journalist, one of my favorite folks. He's an incredible author, written numerous bestsellers on the New York Times, The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, and Armed Madhouse. You may know him through his investigative reports with the BBC Television, The Guardian, Democracy Now!, and Rolling Stone. He's got an incredible film, The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, The Case of the Stolen Election, available now Amazon and Prime. Greg, thanks for taking time for us.
Always glad to be with you, Rick.
So let's start with the Iowa thing. Thoughts? Anything?
Well, look, I was in Iowa. I even know Price. These guys, they're over the head. The problem is that, frankly, there's always a bit of corruption in these things, because you've got all this money flowing around and floating around. So they pay off old party establishment types. They say, oh, anyone here can make an app? Here's 60 grand. Go have fun. And so that what's not being looked at here is the bits of endless petty corruption in these party operations. And I think that that's part of the story. And of course, look, they're not exactly in love with Bernie. And if they're going to fix, I call it vulture opportunism. If it was Klobuchar that was walking away with Iowa, and the app was broken, they'd say, we're going to get this to the bottom of this and declare a real winner. But, oh, it may be Bernie, it may not. Well, who's going to bother, right?
And I said the same thing about New Hampshire. How are they going to Bernie wash New Hampshire? And the talk now is, well, he didn't do as well as he did last time. He still won.
Yeah, well, it's funny. In fact, the whole story is about Klobuchar. It's like Mayor Pete, poor guy doesn't even exist. He's kind of the invisible man. But, you know, look, the party is going to reject what they consider an alien virus, which means progressives. So it's a tough one.
Yeah, it is.
And that's why you have those two, the caucus and the Iowa and New Hampshire leading. They hope that will be like a barrier against progressive infection. It hasn't worked out that way.
Well, I hope not, because at the end of the day, one, I want to beat Trump no matter what. But two, you got to have an agenda that's going to move the country forward in a better direction, especially.
I'm an investigative reporter. I don't take positions on who should be anything, but I do believe I'm big in favor of like counting votes.
Right.
You know, in Iowa, all they had to do was take a picture. You didn't need an app. You just take a picture of the paper tallies. And just, it's called texting. They've probably never heard of it in the Democratic Party, but, you know.
No, and this is the thing, and this is the reason I wanted to talk to you about this issue. And I don't expect you to take a position or endorse anyone. But, you know, while we talk about the right and their, all the crimes and all the, you know, the things that they've done to block people from voting, this just seems of, you know, if you're preaching about we need to count every vote, and you can't do it in a little state like Iowa, it puts a bad taste in the mouth, I think.
Well, and I'm going to get to my big story out of Georgia, but right. I have to tell you, I'm speaking to you from the People's Republic of California, a one-party state, and where they are doing their best to reject the progressive virus. Did you know that by vote, I just sued successfully Brian Kemp, the Purgeon General Governor.
Which I want to get to.
Of Georgia. But I have to tell you, by pure number of votes not counted and voters blocked from casting a ballot, there is no state which suppresses more votes, no one come close, than California. It is the worst voting state in America, and I say this with 20 years of experience. I was in Florida with Catherine Harris. I was in Georgia with Brian Kemp. I was in Ohio with Ken Blackwell. I have seen the worst of American voting. Nothing is as bad as California. Nothing. Three in 2016 in June in that primary between Clinton and Sanders. 750,000 ballots. Let me repeat. 750,000 ballots were disqualified, never counted. Almost all of them, independent voters who have a right to vote in the Democratic primary. And if you counted those ballots, according to the Roper poll, those voters voted 3-1 for Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders won the California primary, and they just said, "Oh, there's a simple fix. We don't count the ballot."
Yeah.
That's official, by the way. It's not a Greg Palast number. It's from the Secretary of State, the Purgeon General of California, a guy named Alex Padilla. And so you have a Hispanic Democrat who is blocking more voters than these Jim Crow specialists in the Deep South. And, you know, so, yes, it is a problem. And generally, you know, obviously we know that Jim Crow tactics are generally used against voters of color because their color is blue when they vote, right, Democratic. But in, you know, Democrats also suppress votes, take away votes, throw out ballots, disqualify ballots. They do so generally in primaries. Democrats basically savage each other's right to vote as opposed to removing GOP votes. So you end up with kind of the same voters being clonged by both parties. But, you know, that's the dark side. Can we have a bit? Can we savor a victory, which we had this week?
No, I'm right there with you. No, and the reason that I think it's important is I want every vote to count. Every person should be able to vote. Every vote should count. And the fact that you bring up California is important because you can't sit on your high horse and say, well, it's just them. And while the Republicans do it so much better and have been so much better at it for so long, that's where the attention is. And I do want to talk about your victory in Georgia, because this is huge in my view. The fact that a judge didn't even want to have a trial, the case was so bad that he said, you know what, I'm just going to decide this. And, you know, Brian Kemp's got to turn all of this stuff over. Congratulations.
What's happened is I sued when I was working for Rolling Stone, and I've been on the case of Brian Kemp, who's now the governor. If you remember, he ran against Stacey Abrams in 2018. And I exposed how they had illegally and wrongly removed 340,134 voters. I needed all the backup. I got plenty from, I've been filing legal actions against him, beginning for Rolling Stone, now for The Guardian USA. And I filed a suit to force him to open up his records on how and why he purged voters, and also his secret lockup with a guy named Chris Kobach of Kansas, the kind of white supremacist Secretary of State, the ex-Secretary of State there. And I have never called a public official a white supremacist, with this one exception. He is. There's no way around it from all his writings and actions. And So Brian Kemp, the GOP Secretary of State, he's running for governor. Now, understand, and by the way, 2 days ago, the Wall Street Journal editorialized that what Brian Kemp did by remaining Secretary of State in charge of the voting in Georgia while he is running for governor, even the Wall Street Journal said that was wrong and immoral and undermined our voting system. The Wall Street Journal.
Right.
But Kemp, you know what? It was like Kemp was like, sticks and stones, baby. I'm in charge of the voting while I'm running. And most important, he said where you could vote. He said how you can vote. And most important, he said who could vote. He purged the voter rolls. That is, he removed the voter registration of 500,000 voters. I sued to get all the information and how he was working with Kobach to not only remove voters in Georgia, but all over the nation.
Right.
When I first filed the federal suit, he did turn over, knowing he was going to lose. He turned over the purge list, and I went through them, and that's when I found out a third of a million voters he had removed. Were removed illegally. That is, he said that they had left the state or left Atlanta. Okay, that's pretty clear. Hey, you shouldn't be on the voter rolls if you're not there anymore, right?
Right.
Well, it turns out I got the guys from Amazon that, you know, that work for Amazon and eBay, who use the huge sophisticated programs that Amazon uses, checking 240 databases. They know where you got a pizza delivered, where you got your socks delivered. They know that you turned on the cable show last night, where you last bought stuff on your credit card. They know everything.
Yeah, so much for privacy.
Well, you're not going to have privacy, but they know exactly where you are at any day. So they, I said, did these people leave Georgia? Did they leave Atlanta as they moved? I said, by the way, there's so many, how come the streets aren't filled with U-Haul trucks, you know, moving this stuff around, all these movers? And they said, no, we have, these are the exact names and addresses of people where they live. Their registration addresses are where they still live. Here are, it's not a, by the way, this is not a scientific sample. We went name by name through the list. So we actually have the names of everyone. And Kemp had illegally removed these voters, a third of a million voters, and then declared himself winner by 50,000 votes. It was a joke.
No, it is a joke. Stacey
Abrams said, I won. And she cited my 340,000 number. She cited that. She said, I won, except I won't be inaugurated because of these Jim Crow tactics. It was mostly voters of color and young people. They really went after young people. So now what I want, Kemp now as governor is still stonewalling me on information because I want his documentation, his games he was playing with Chris Kobach of Kansas and Trump. They were removing voters in other states. In Michigan, Trump supposedly won by 10,704 votes. 10,000 votes, that's it, out of 3 million. Now, no, 5 million in Michigan, 10,000 votes. Well, I found out that the Republican Secretary of State of Michigan was removing tens of thousands of voters of color, especially Muslims and black people, people named Michael Brown, James Brown, you know, Muhammad was the most, by the way, Muhammad is the most common name in the world. And they were removing these people, saying that they were registered in Georgia and Michigan. It was just common names, literally just a bunch of common names of African Americans, Hispanic, and Asian Americans.
Who were generally going to vote for Democrats.
Yeah, overwhelmingly. And they removed those. I confronted the Secretary of State with this. He said, well, yeah, we used Kansas Interstate Crosscheck. And I showed him the list I got from Brian Kemp. And which, by the way, Kemp said the list didn't exist. I got out through the back door. I showed it to the Secretary of State of Michigan. He said, oh, well, we're very aggressive in using that list. I said, yeah, I see the aggression. That's what elected Donald Trump. So now I go into court, and I say, I want the rest of these files. And Kemp says they don't exist. And I says, Your Honor, here's some. We got some of it out the back door. Now we want the rest. He just lied to you. He said he didn't have these documents. Here they are. The judge, steam coming out of her. She's a federal judge. You don't jack with a federal judge. So he moved to dismiss my case on summary judgment. Lawyers out there will know what we mean. The judge said, I'm not only not going to throw out Greg Palast's case against Mr. Kemp, but I am going to issue summary judgment against Governor Kemp and the state of Georgia. And you don't even have to go to trial. And this is done with... It's a wet dream for a lawyer because it's sua sponte. I didn't have my lawyers even ask the judge to throw out Kemp's case. She just said his case is so thin, full of BS and full of holes that she wasn't going to waste anyone's time with a trial. She just said, you lost. Boom. Give him the documents. This is a huge... huge win, and you have to understand, it's a huge win on many grounds. One, I can now bust open, I'll be doing it in The Guardian, the games that they played nationwide with the interstate cross-check list and these purges. The second, I have proved, I'm using a new legal hammer to break open their file cabinets, which is the... You know, when they stonewall me on the Open Records Act or Freedom of Information, I now am citing the National Voter Registration Act. This is the federal law which protects your registration. It's supposed to. And I'm basically using it as a kind of super Freedom of Information Act request so I can dig into their files. Yes, I do get stuff out the back door. By the way, I never hack computers. I don't do anything illegal. but I have methods.
I'm sure as an investigative reporter, people are handing you envelopes all the time.
Yep, and you kind of talk them. You'd be surprised that you could talk people into doing. Clerks especially, and some clerks who really want you to have the information, by the way, you know, try to slip stuff to you because they
know. I'm just going
to
leave this on my desk, and I need a donut.
Yeah, exactly. I once had FBI agents leave stuff on my desk and walk away and say, oh, we accidentally left a very confidential file on your desk. You didn't read it by any chance. I said, oh, absolutely not. They said, okay, we'll come and get it.
Yeah, I photocopied it, but I didn't actually read it.
No, I didn't read it. But, you know, so you know, sometimes people want you to have the truth. But this is really good precedent. It's really excellent for us, and hopefully we can bust open these stories and get some of these purges stopped or reversed. I should say, since we last spoke, I have my group of experts that uncovered the wrongful purges in Georgia have now been hired by Stacey Abrams, who is who has a nonpartisan group called Fair Fight, and she's fighting to reverse that. But we are also, at the same time, going to be exposing, going through the voter rolls and the purges in Michigan, in Wisconsin, and Ohio, and, you know, frankly, as much as if our foundation can raise enough money, we're going to be going through 20 states if we can.
No, that's incredible. But here's where my question then begins, mm-hmm. because this is a great victory. This is fantastic.
Yeah.
But still, Brian Kemp is still the governor of Georgia.
Yeah, welcome
still
to America.
Donald Trump's still the president of the United States. You know, we've got all this great information, yet the criminals are still getting away with it.
Well, one of the problems we have in the U.S. is that with rare exceptions, if you steal an election, you take over basically the voting cops. You take over the police department. So that Donald Trump is in charge of the Justice Department, if you could still call it that, and the Civil Rights Division, which is supposed to protect your vote. And instead, they're literally on the wrong side. Did you know that? I mean, everyone's all shaken up about the Justice Department now literally overriding its own lawyers and saying, Judge, ignore our lawyers. Don't sentence Roger Stone to prison. And, you know, and we're shaking it. But this has been going on since the day Trump walked in. Do you know, this has never happened in the history of the Justice Department where they've switched cases, switched sides in a voting rights case in the middle because of a change of administration. Trump's lawyers from Justice, there was a gigantic case that went to the Supreme Court called Houston v. Apri, and it's very, very important. It involved the removal of millions of voters from the voter rolls. And the Justice Department, which objected to Ohio's mass purge of voters, and Ohio is a critical state, the Justice Department objected. Trump gets elected. They literally physically picked up their briefcases and walked over to the Ohio side, the Republican Ohio officials table, and said, we are now changing sides. We've changed our position. Yeah. Justice doesn't do that. It's not supposed to be. Justice is not supposed to change depending when you change the president. Justice is supposed to be literally blind to who's president, but not in this administration. So I'm very worried about, you know, like people say, do you worry about an appeal by Brian Kemp against the ruling in my favor? And normally I would say, not a chance. But, you know, I have to be very concerned here. This has been grim. And a little side note on the Roger Stone story. The main witness, the only witness really against Roger Stone was the commentator and comic Randy Credico, who's a very good friend of mine. And it was noted today that he sent a letter to the judge, please don't put Stone in prison. He say, why? The guy threatened to kill him and his dog. And I'm going to tell you why. I hope the judge ignores my good friend Randy's note. I can't talk to Randy about this because that would create some other legal problems for him. But the truth is, Roger Stone is supported by the Proud Boys. These are the guys behind the mayhem in Charlottesville. Randy walks out his door wondering if someone's going to just slit his throat. You know, and so he's basically, you know, it's like a witness against the mafia saying, oh, don't put the guy in jail. Well, of course, the mob can take you out.
Yeah.
So I just hope that, the judge understands that Randy has his life on the line every day for testifying against Roger Stone. So I understand why he wrote the letter to, you know, but I also, yeah, but you know, it's serious stuff, and I know you might, other people might laugh at it, but his dog is really important to him. I kept telling him, he kept sending me Roger Stone's notes at 5 in the morning, the threats. I said, you got to go to the Justice Department. You can't let him get away with this. He said, I'm not worried about Roger Stone. But when Stone threatened to kill his dog,
that was a bridge too far.
That was it. And so that's when he called Mueller and said, you know, you're going to kill my dog. It's like, you might laugh at that, but, you know, for those of us who have dogs, you know exactly what he was feeling. But I'm telling you, these people are dangerous. They're armed. They're dangerous. They control the Justice Department. They control the voting systems. And they're to some extent, they're muzzling the press in ways that are very subtle. It's very hard. I mean, I will say that my victory in the court in Georgia, in Pallas v. Kemp, was actually covered in the New York Times, the Washington Post. That's pretty rare for them to pick this up, but they couldn't ignore it. But for the most part, they're not covering what they're saying. I won my case to uncover the documents, but they're not, you know, I have to rely on the Rolling Stone and Guardian and others to, and you, thank you, Rick, to get out the word of what I'm actually finding. And that's, you know, they're very timid about saying our elections are being jacked. We have to get that word out.
No, I'm with you. And so the question then becomes, because I look at what just happened in the Senate when you have, you know, the Republican Party basically covering up an entire impeachment process and just sweeping everything under the rug. To me, this tells me that they don't fear the voting populace because they know the fix is in.
Here's the problem. When you're not elected by the voters, you have impunity. That's how we ended up in Iraq. Bush, you know, I did the investigation. Those who've been, followed your program, you know that I'm the reporter, again, with The Guardian and BBC Television, that uncovered that Catherine Harris removed tens of thousands of people from the voter rolls, black people, from the voter rolls in 2000. And George Bush supposedly won the state and the presidency by just 537 votes. If you remove tens of thousands of black folk, yeah, you can win Florida. And they're doing it again. And, you know, it's and that led to the war in Iraq. Because if you don't feel like you have to be elected by voters, you can get away with anything.
Yeah, I look at Donald Trump right now, and I don't think he fears nobody. As much as Lisa Murkowski and Susan Collins want to believe he's learned his lesson, I think he's going to be worse than he ever was. I think things are going to get really, really dark, really quick.
Yeah. He learned a lesson. He learned that if someone testifies against you, you fire them. He's not only fired Vindman, who was his own national security
but
expert.
His brother.
Remember these? You have to understand, and his twin brother. You have to understand, these are people that were appointed by Trump. Okay? They were appointed by Trump. They were Trumpites, basically. Bolton was a Trumpite. You know, I mean, who was going to testify against him. These are not people out to get Trump. These are people who were working for him and wanted to work for him. But they are muzzled and they're being punished. He's now called for Vindman to be criminally prosecuted for telling the truth. He's a U.S. military officer. His brother was the ethics chief for the intelligence for DIA. So he went to his brother, which the law requires. He didn't go to him because it was Thanksgiving. He went to him because the law requires him to go to his brother and say if he has been witness to unethical conduct, the unethical conduct being the commander-in-chief. God help us.
God help us. And that's why I keep coming back to this election, that the integrity of the ballot box, you know, has to be, you know, I can't say maintained because it's not, but it has to be absolute, and we've got to fight for it on both sides of the political aisle, because at the end of the day, if the will of we the people is not being met, what do we have?
Well, and I want people to do something really important. I want people to go, if you're in Georgia, Indiana, Nevada, Illinois, and a few other states, if you go to gregpalace.com, and at the top of my site it said purge list. I'm now getting through my legal action, through threats of lawsuit, great legal team. Thank you, Jeannie Meyer out of New York and other great attorneys bringing this case. Because of the Brian Kemp decision, I'm getting the purge list from other states, and you can look up and see if you're still on the voter rolls. It's really important. So you can go to gregpalace.com, purge list, and see if you're in any of these states where they're wiping out people, and see if your name's there. And you can re-register online. Please re-register online, because I'm going to tell you something. You fill out those yellow forms that they have at the DMV and others, the chance is about 45% that your vote will not be, that your name will not be entered onto the voter rolls. Can you believe that? 45%. There's always a reason to disqualify your registration, just like disqualifying your ballot. So register online, take a screenshot, and make sure that you are registered. Every state allows you to register online these days. And so do that. At least protect yourself, protect your friends. That's vital.
There you go.
And so you can do something yourself. And by the way, watch a movie. I mean, like, thank you for calling it a terrific movie, The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, free on Prime. But importantly, I've now, Jesse Jackson has commissioned from me a activist shortened version of the film, School and Church Friendly. It's and I want people to see this, to know how Trump stole the election. It's called The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, The Case of the Stolen Election. If you want to show it at your church or something, give me your school, your massage circle, whatever. Just send a note to gregpalace.com and we'll send you a download or a DVD of the special activist version. And because I think people need to know, and it's entertaining. It's not your white guys in front of bookcases PBS stuff. It's I've got Rosario Dawson, Willie Nelson, and Ice-T, and Ed Asner, Santa Claus in there, lots of cartoons. So it's entertaining, but it tells you the cold, pretty gut-wrenching truth about what happened in 16 and what will happen in 2020 unless, Rick, we, raise the alarm. Thank you for being Paul Revere here.
Yeah. Again, the best democracy money can buy, The Case of the Stolen Election. We will get links out on how folks can take a look at that. Yeah. Lastly, I'm sure you guys could use some money. How do we donate? How do we get people to send you a couple of
kindly
bucks?
Tax-deductible donation to a nonpartisan, nonprofit foundation at gregpalace.com. It's the Palace Investigative Fund. And there's a link that says support our stolen election investigation. That's very kind of you to mention that, because that's what keeps us, let's put it this way. I make it very blunt. The more funds we can get, the more states we can do the analysis of the list, and the more our lawyers are working for free. Or now, by the way, Brian Kemp has to pay my lawyers, Mr. Kemp, but because he lost. But the more we can take on, there's still a lot of expenses out of pocket. Plus, I go to these states, I meet the victims, and I confront the vote thieves. I went to Georgia, and I had to hunt down Brian Kemp. I found him at a pig roast. There he was, right under the pig. And you'd be surprised. I can tell the difference. I was able to pick him out. But he immediately, they just literally grabbed me. I said, wait a minute. All I did was ask him. I said, Mr. Kemp, are you removing black voters just so you can win this election? Is that the only way you can win this election in Georgia? Why do I have to sue you to get the names of the voters you've removed from the voter rolls? And they literally physically, his goons grabbed me, and I said, is any other journalist grabbed for asking a question? They said, just you. And then I went to Michigan I confronted Chris. In the film, you'll see me confront Chris Kobach
right.
Of Kansas, which I do by I'm in a kind of simple disguise, which is as a local film crew. I got one of those, those little cubes that always have the numbers on them, that, like Eyewitness News and Channel 4 and stuff. So I had a cube made with a 4 on the microphone. It looked, very local news crewy. And I was actually working with Channel 4 of Britain, so it wasn't a lie. And then I jumped Kobach to demand why he was working with guys like Brian Kemp to remove voters of color. And he said, oh, I'm not. And I said, well, let me show you your hit list, your purge list. He was shocked. He didn't realize I had the list.
Yeah, it's an incredible scene, and I hope folks will take a look at it and check out the movie. Send donations, because you're probably the only guy I know who's doing this and getting results. So I hope folks will go to gregpalast.com. Donation, check your registration, lots of stuff, lots of good stuff. Greg, as always, man, I appreciate the work that you do. Keep the fight, and please come back and share with us more in the coming days.
Thank you, and see you in the Guardian. Bye.
Good stuff. Gregpalast.com. Make sure you go there now. Quick break, right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.